If, as no doubt many of you were, royal wedding watchers, you would have already heard one sermon this weekend. And it's fair to say that I am no Michael Curry. But then I thought to myself, well, Michael Curry is no Ian Tutton. So, comparisons being invidious, I'm just going to carry on as I would have anyway. And if you want to make comparisons, it's up to you. But I guess I'll never be invited to preach at a royal wedding. Praying in aid. It's a quaint old phrase. So quaint, so old, the meaning may well have passed some of us by. Its meaning is meant to suggest that when you have to prove an argument, you can use something or someone in support of that argument to bring the proof to the table. You can pray in aid, the testimony of another person, or the story of another occasion, the description of another series of events, or whatever. You can pray in aid that which will confirm the truth of what you're wanting to say. And during this past week, two major initiatives within the life of the church have collided. There's Christian Aid Week, which we know about, which we've shared about this morning, with which we've been involved as a church over many years, and I'm pleased that we have been, and it's good that we are supporters of Christian Aid and do all that we possibly can to raise money for what is a very good and worthy cause. But there's also been the initiative, the call to prayer, that the Archbishop of Canterbury has established, Thy Kingdom Come. I don't know whether it's me or whoever. The Archbishop of Canterbury has called the church to prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. A spur to all Christians to seek to transform the communities of which they are a part and to which they belong. And that aspiration, of course, is shared by organizations such as Christian Aid. The work of Christian Aid is underpinned by the prayers of the people. Christian Aid would not be what it is if it were not for the prayers of those who support its work. We cannot underestimate the value of prayer in support of the work of such bodies as this. Today is Pentecost, the day on which the church reminds itself of what happened 50 days after Jesus having been raised from the dead. We're told that the disciples and others were visited by a manifestation of the Holy Spirit so dramatic that whilst it appeared as if they were drunk to others, it soon became obvious that there was evidence of the power of God at work in their lives. To some, they appeared drunk, and worse still, drunk on cheap wine. It seems to me if you're going to get drunk, you may as well get the value out of it. Drunk on cheap wine. But the perceptive ones in the crowd, the perceptive ones, recognized that no, something more profound was at work here. We're beginning to hear them speaking our language. They're speaking our language. They're using words with which we are familiar. They're speaking to us. They're speaking to me. God was cutting through. It certainly is Pentecost. This is a rushing mighty wind. Goodness help us if we suddenly have tongues of fire. We'll be in a right old mess.
passiert uns.
Shall we sing a hymn? Shall we just go and walk? Shall we have a walk around the building? Shall we just have a cup of tea early? Oh, we're on now. Okay. Michael Curry didn't have this trouble. In fact, it'd have been in the person responsible would be in the tower by now. Shall I start again? No, I won't do that. I wouldn't burden you with that. Drunk with cheap wine in the eyes of some, the more perceptive amongst them recognized here were people speaking their language, speaking directly to them, sharing with them what they needed to hear. The Holy Spirit is something of a mystery. I always understand it as nothing more yet nothing less than God's active presence in the world. If I could go through the New Testament and cross out every reference to the Holy Spirit and rewrite God's active presence, I think we wouldn't be far wrong. Pentecost tells us that God is active and present in the world. Jesus was raised from the dead. The ascension, which we shared 10 days ago, he is now in heaven. God's active presence in the world is through the work of the Spirit manifest within the life of the church. And our calling under God, actively present in his world, is to ensure thy kingdom come. So, we are challenged as believers in our generation to go into the world. And this is our agenda. We are to live and to love in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to give and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to bless and to forgive in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to welcome and we are to heal in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to judge and to affirm in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to teach and we are to baptize in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to worship and we are to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our calling under God, the Pentecost Manifesto, that if we wish to see thy kingdom come, it is this which we pray in aid as we share together our life as Christians, living and loving, giving and going, blessing and forgiving, welcoming and healing, judging and affirming, teaching and baptizing, worshiping and praying. That's our calling under God. In so doing, we bear witness to God's active presence in our lives and in the world. And so, the Holy Spirit is for life and not just for Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is for life and not just for Pentecost. Our task as image-bearing, God-loving, Christ-shaped, Spirit-filled Christians, following Christ and shaping our world, is to announce redemption to the world that has discovered its fallenness and to announce healing to the world that has discovered its brokenness. To proclaim love and trust to a world that knows only exploitation, fear, and suspicion. And it's a big ask. It's a tough calling. It's a job description we would not necessarily apply for. It's beyond us. Indeed, humanly speaking, who can do it? We're deluding ourselves if we believe as human beings we can accomplish that which God calls us to. Many have tried and many have failed because it isn't possible. From a human point of view, what God requires of us is impossible. That's the challenge of the gospel. From a human point of view, what God requires of us is impossible. So don't believe you can.
Don't go out of here this morning believing that what you've heard, I can do that. I can manage that. I can accomplish that. That's life for me from now on. You'll fail. You'll fail dramatically. You'll fall from a great height. And you'll hurt yourself. But with God, all things are possible. If we are prepared to let God be active and present in our lives, transforming us from within, then all of this becomes entirely possible. Indeed, we can move mountains. And boy, there are some mountains in our world that need to be moved. We can move mountains if God is active and present in our lives. But it's a challenge, you know. People often say to me, leave the supernatural stuff. Jesus was a good teacher. We should do what he taught, and life would be okay. No. The Sermon on the Mount is not a set of principles to be obeyed apart from identification with Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount is a statement of the life we will live when the Holy Spirit is getting his way with us. You can't live up to the Sermon on the Mount unless the Spirit of God is in you. You cannot live up to the Sermon on the Mount unless God is actively present in your life. The Sermon on the Mount is not a social contract. It's not a political manifesto. It's not a cultural phenomenon. It's a religious statement. It requires God in us to make it happen. Now, the danger we can fall into is that we can quite easily hive off the Holy Spirit into some theological cul-de-sac. Church history has not dealt kindly with the Holy Spirit. The last thing we want is to find ourselves being embarrassed in any way as a consequence of the Holy Spirit having caused us to say or do whatever in a manner that is most unlike us. We don't want to appear as if we are drunk on cheap wine. And sadly, within the history of the church, and even within the church today, there are supposed manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The only conclusion one can draw from seeing the people involved in them is that they are drunk on cheap wine, because they're not making any sense otherwise. It's because they've disconnected the work of the Spirit from the works of Jesus and the creative power of God the Father. So don't get caught up in that. Anchor what one believes about the Spirit in respect of the teaching of Jesus. But without the Spirit, Jesus' teaching runs into the sand. So the effect of the Spirit will be to disturb us. It should properly disturb us. We don't like to be disturbed. The present Pope put it like this. To put it simply, the Holy Spirit bothers us because the Holy Spirit moves us, makes us walk, perhaps forces us to go forward. And we are like Peter at the Transfiguration. Ah, how wonderful it is to be here like this all together. But don't bother us. We want the Holy Spirit to doze off. We want to domesticate the Holy Spirit. And that's no good, because this is God, the Holy Spirit, that wind which comes and goes and you don't know where. It is the power of God, the one who gives us consolation and strength to move forward, but to move forward. And this bothers us. It's so much nicer to be comfortable. None of us likes to be disturbed. Pentecost was a disturbing experience. The waters were stirred. The ripples sent out across the centuries. And we sense them today. God cannot be tamed. The gospel cannot be domesticated. God determines to be present and active in the world according to his will and purpose. To experience the active presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is disturbing. We will, we ought, we should be disturbed, but that's how it must be. Because living as a Christian in the world of today ought to disturb us. Just because of what we see happening around us. Indeed, it ought to enrage us. It ought to outrage us. We cannot be comfortable as Christians in this world as it is. And if we are, something is wrong. If you feel comfortable in this world, something is wrong. The active presence of God, it is possible to transform this world in such a way that it reflects the emerging reality of the coming kingdom. We are encouraged to know the Christian message will be the agent of such transformation. We can pray in aid the Holy Spirit that the active presence of God might enable us to pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done.